Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. Presented by Allied Home Security.
Payne and Pendergast on a Thursday. Darren Revelle joins us at the bottom of the hour from the Action Network. Kevin O'Connell, the latest interview request by the Houston Texans. And this is interesting now, Seth. So there have been five requested interviews. Four have been conducted. Brian Flores, former coach for the Dolphins. Joe Lombardi, OC for the Los Angeles Chargers. Hines Ward, former wide receiver for the Steelers, who's been a position coach briefly, I think with the Jets, and then again, or maybe like a quality control with the Jets, something like that. And then he was with Florida Atlantic University last year. He's being interviewed because he's Hines Ward.
I know.
I mean, like,
it's funny.
Can you imagine if you just, like, if you remove the names, like, they're interviewing the OC for the Chargers, the head coach recently fired by the Dolphins, the wide receivers coach for Florida Atlantic University, Kevin O'Connell from the Rams.
Record scratch. Funny because in any other context, it seems like that should be a good thing, right? He's just being interviewed because of who he is. There's nothing else other than the incredible things he's accomplished.
It's neither good nor bad. It just is.
No, but you're exactly right. If you're basing it on his coaching credentials.
I'm sitting here parsing out, like, was he a quality control coach for a year with the Jets? Or was he what was his title? No, he's being interviewed because he's
Well, like Lombardi, you always wonder with a guy like Joe Lombardi, like, okay, how much has being named Lombardi kind of greased the skids in his life?
You know,
not that it matters one way or the other, but just it is. You're in the game of football, and your last name, because you're related to him, is like the name of one of the most iconic figures in all of football history.
He literally has the same name that's on the Super Bowl trophy.
There's got to be something subconscious that goes on there that it's given you enough of a leg up in certain situations.
Can you imagine, Seth, if they're talking about him? Like, you know, we thought maybe he could dial up a little of that old Vince Lombardi magic. Like, oh, that old magic that wound up with six championships? The first two Super Bowls?
What if Caserio gets up after they hire Lombardi and starts sounding disturbingly like a guy who's way into the genetics of human beings?
He puts up a Punnett square on the PowerPoint.
He gets a little too scientific about how we can break this all down.
What a Punnett square was? I'm the opposite of you today, Seth. I'm remembering things I didn't even know I remembered.
Is that the Gregor Mendel thing there?
Mendel invented
it. Yeah, the big B, little B for the blue eyes and everything.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's genetic. I know that. So anyways, so Kevin O'Connell added to the list. And who did we not make? Oh, Jonathan Gannon of the defensive coordinator for the Eagles. So, Seth, I think even though O'Connell was drafted by the Patriots back in 2008, he only spent one season there. Caserio was in the building when O'Connell was drafted. Look, these guys are all familiar with each other just through the network that is the league. Yeah. I don't count O'Connell, though. If they were to hire O'Connell, I wouldn't go, well, Patriots South. You know, O'Connell's coaching pedigree is not a Patriot coaching pedigree.
Right. Yeah, he spent a year as a practice squad guy. It's not like, and he's not going to be like a Vrabel type either, where Vrabel – Vrabel spent his formative years as a player with the Patriots, and I think knew he wanted to be a coach at that time. So I don't mind putting him in the Belichick tree because he probably took a lot of notes while he was playing for the Patriots.
O'Connell was there for 1 year, and they didn't make the playoffs that year. That was in 2008. That was the year Brady got hurt.
And then he ended up playing. He was in the league for like 4 or 5 years, but didn't play much at all. So he's not like a Gary Kubiak, who is actually like a bona fide backup to a Hall of Fame caliber player in one spot. Yeah, O'Connell had a much rougher go of it.
Yep. So his tree, in case you're wondering, if you're into trees for coaching, he's a Sean McVay guy, I think is how you put it. Sean McVay, and Sean McVay's tree is an acorn off of the Shanahan Kubiak. Like is it safe to say that's the type of offense they would be running? Something in that Shanahan Kubiak family?
Yeah, a lot of like zone run, outside run based stuff that sets up the play action, and they've added a whole lot of different wrinkles to it along the way. But there's, when done right, it just flat out works. There are always drawbacks to it, and it's evolved over the years in different ways. But teams that run that offensive effectively, at the very least, tend to have productive offenses. Is it enough to win a Super Bowl? Certainly you need a whole lot more than just the scheme. That's what you hope. And like so far, in that, let's see, the McVay tree at this point is Zach Taylor.
In the playoffs.
That's worked well for that young quarterback. Matt LaFleur worked very well for an old quarterback. I mean, that's a great thing about LaFleur. A lot of other coaches, if they stepped in and coached Aaron Rodgers, people would say, well, yeah, I mean, like, how do I know you're any better than Mike McCarthy? You got Aaron Rodgers. Well, because under Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers had a couple of subpar, mediocre years.
Remind people of that. People forget that because Rodgers is about to win another MVP award.
Yeah,
but
he was on his way out. Like, for the most part, it looked like he was just a mediocre quarterback those 2 years prior to LaFleur arriving. And then they just took off. And it was, and it wasn't easy. One thing you notice with these schemes and systems, because the same thing happened with Shanahan in Atlanta, even though the Packers won a bunch of games 2 years ago, the offense wasn't quite there yet. It wasn't the force that it ended up becoming. Because it takes time, like it takes repetition. You talk to Wade Smith about this. Wade says it a lot better than I do because he was an offensive lineman in this scheme. And it's just so much of it is getting to know and do exactly everything the same way. And once you get it, you get the best out of everybody. You get the best. Like Wade Smith was a very good NFL offensive lineman, but I don't think they ever truly tapped into his real potential as a player until he was playing for Kubiak. You know, like it was like it gets the absolute most out of everybody in that scheme, whether it's a running, like think about Denver through the years, how many journeymen, undrafted rookie free agents, late round draft picks ended up being awesome running backs for them. It was because they ran that scheme and system so well. So that's the exciting thing about getting somebody from a McVay / Shanahan tree, if they're good.
Okay, let me ask you that. There are very few pieces on the 2021 Texans offense that you can't just swap out and just go get a better football player, independent of scheme. Like, this guy's just not very good. Like, all the running backs. Like, swap them all out, go get some younger running backs, but specifically the offensive line. Because there's talk of trading Laremy Tunsil. You know, Titus Howard is heading into his fourth year. They're going to have to make a decision on his fifth-year option here in the next few months, what to do with that. Max Sharping is still on the roster. He was a second-round pick 3 years ago. What kind of fit are the pieces those pieces specifically that the Texans have on the offensive line for a McVay O'Connell like scheme? Should we maybe pump the brakes on trading Tunsil, or does it accelerate trading Tunsil?
Theoretically, Tunsil, like athletically, should be awesome in that scheme, and yet Tunsil doesn't seem to care much about run blocking.
More about want to with him.
Or maybe he doesn't. I don't know. Maybe he's just bad at it naturally. Sometimes, like, the really good athletes are bad at things for whatever reason. But his run blocking does not match up to his pass blocking. And the great thing about these Kubiak-Shanahan systems is that the run game and the pass game are inextricably tied to each other. And it's not setting up the pass with a run or setting up the run with a pass. It's like all the plays look similar. They're all based. They're all setting something else up for later in the game. And it needs extreme attention to detail from your offensive lineman. And sometimes a guy that just works his ass off at paying attention to detail could be better in that scheme than a Laremy Tunsil.
How?
Because you got to really pay attention to detail.
How does it affect the way they approach the draft if they were to bring in a McVay Shanahan kind of guy?
I think one thing you can do, especially when you're just trying to get to credible, like the Texans are trying to go from one of the worst in the league to a credible organization, I think they get the most out of guys who are just solid football players. If you can, your offensive linemen can be a little bit smaller, perhaps, because there's a lot of lateral movement, more so than drive blocking and man blocking. They love the Kevin Walter type of receiver because blocking down, everybody gives lip service to wide receivers blocking, but in this scheme, it does actually drive the engine because that's how you get the big runs is receivers blocking downfield. So some of the things that the Texans have started to do already, like with they did it with drafting Nico Collins, big physical wide receiver.
Yep, yep. They had
Conley on the team this year, Chris Conley, big physical dude. I think that the offense could maybe make a much larger jump in short order than people might realize.
Does it increase or decrease the chances of them drafting Evan Neal with the third overall pick?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because you just said you can get guys. This is the way I interpreted what you said. You can get guys maybe later on in the draft that are just athletic, and you can get more average football players working in cohesion with one another.
I don't think it changes who they take with their first picks, with their first round picks, because I think they're still going to take best player available.
Okay.
Because it's still, like, don't get me wrong, there's still value. Like, I'm not saying that you can have a bunch of schlubs on the offensive line.
Sure.
And then they'll be awesome. Like, it's just, I think the mix can become a little bit different, and you can take guys that aren't necessarily the prototype. But if you have, like Trent Williams, a guy that didn't quite fit the mold of the 49ers offensive lineman, but he's a really good offensive lineman. he's just a really good offensive lineman. So they like having Trent Williams on that offensive line.
Yep.
I don't think it would affect it to that degree, but I think they feel like they can get it the most. Like a guy like Charlie Heck is the perfect example. Like, hey, man, he's probably not quite physical enough, and maybe he'll grow into that body of his, but he can run and he can move. And he shows a certain intelligence and a technique that I think you can absolutely get the most out of a Charlie Heck in a system like Kevin O'Connell might.
What
run.
About Titus Howard? Would this be the best thing to ever happen to Titus Howard?
Yeah, I think so. Because when you look at Titus, remember we were talking to John Harris about this. Titus reminds you so much of Dwayne Brown.
Yeah,
kind of size wise, athletically. I think he may have tried to gain a little weight to play inside this year. And I don't think that was the best thing for Titus Howard. I think he needs to be a sleeker athlete. So hopefully if he's allowed to just focus on tackle next year, he comes back maybe a little bit lighter. I mean, I'm not saying he was, fat by offensive line standards or anything. He just looked a little thicker than back when he was a rookie and a little bit more of a smooth mover.
All right. By the way, 53.6% of you approve of Kevin O'Connell if he were hired as the next Texans head coach. Anything over 50%? And that's a fairly popular candidate, the way the Texans are viewed by the fan base right now in terms of the overall hiring trust that they have.
I think it goes to show, how far we've come as a country, too. I think if in 1943 you had fired Bill O'Brien, there would have been a bunch of people claiming, like, no more patties.
No more Irish.
More Irishmen anymore, those dirty scum. You can't trust them.
Right, we're more accepting these days.
Now they're,
Irish.
At least 63% or so are. Yeah. The rest of them are just racist SOBs.
Right, exactly. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Darren Revelle jumps in with us at the bottom of the hour. Did Scott Boras give us a hint on what Carlos Correa might be okay with in coming back to the Astros? We'll let you be the judge next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast, Darren Revelle joins us at the bottom of the hour. We've gotten a couple little Carlos Correa nuggets over the last couple days. Yesterday was Carlos Correa ditching his old agency and hiring Scott Boras. I would say a smart move by Carlos Correa if you're trying to maximize your dollars on the open market. Today is actual words from the mouth of Scott Boras. This is from Mark Berman of Fox 26, who did what Berman does. Hangs out at the airports and waits for famous people to come in and then gets his phone right up there in their grill and gets awesome audio for us to use on the show. Mark Berman, we love you. Here is Scott Boras talking about the Houston Astros.
Well, the Astros, when you look at them, they have three or four young pitchers, but they also have six potential great position players who are all relatively young. So it's an organization that's been, you know, at the championship level of play for three or four years, and yet that can continue for six or seven if they're able to retain, you know, those true core pieces of all-star level talent that they already possess.
So they've been a contender for three or four years. they've been in the World Series three out of the last 5 years. They can be a contender for another 6 or 7 years. Seth, you know how I'm reading into this. Is that quote Scott Boras's way of subtly dropping a hint that Carlos Correa might be okay with a 6 or 7 year contract to stay with the Astros?
I think you're very correct on that. Mm. I think there's now we had a listener. We had a listener say that you and I were misinterpreting what he was saying about the 6 to 7 years, and that he actually, yeah. Our listener thought that he was saying that it was actually, no, they have a 6 or 7 year window. And
beyond
already,
the 3 or 4. Yeah, like
they're already 4 years into that.
Yeah, no, that texter was, I read the text.
That's, you did? Okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he was
I just
misinterpreting
to be sure.
Boras. Yeah,
yeah, because that would be a weird thing for Boras to say. Like, yeah. He's going to say the right thing politically.
Yeah.
Which is, oh, of course, nothing but glory ahead. But the 6 to 7 year window is not like a typical one that you might say.
That's right.
People don't usually say it's either like it's a few year window or it's, you know, oh, they'll be good for decades to come.
Right.
Whichever it might be. 6 to 7 sounds conspicuously like a longer deal that is not yet a 10-year deal, but it's a respectable. It's a maybe if the Astros had offered a 6-year deal, that could be stretched into a 7-year deal, perhaps.
We should point out that the offer on the table reportedly from the Astros is 5 years, $160 million. Mm-hmm. So $32 million a year over 5 years.
And I thought you brought up an excellent point when we were talking about this, which is, what if a 10-year deal is off the table because of injury history, what have you, whatever, and Scott Boras, more so than perhaps a William Morris agency, which is more of a Hollywood deal than a baseball deal.
It's Carlos' old agent, right?
Yeah, Scott Boras might be able to kind of tell Carlos, look, this is the writing on the wall. This is what's going to be out there for you right now. What if the Astros were to give you a 6-year deal? This is your idea this morning, Sean. But you're the highest paid player on a pay per year scale. You're the highest paid player in baseball. 35.
Highest paid shortstop. Yeah.
So if you're getting 35 plus million per year over 6 or 7 years, how's that sound to you?
That puts you past Lindor. That puts you past Corey Seager.
Yeah. And still a relatively young guy when you approach free agency again.
Yeah, 6 years. You'd be 33. He's 27 right now.
27, yeah. So you'd be 33 years old with the chance for, I mean, there might be some team out there that's willing to give you another 7-year contract when you're 33 years old.
Well, who knows?
Especially if you stay healthy.
Who knows what the economics of the game do over the next? Maybe the game re-explodes in popularity, and there's all kinds of ways to distribute it that turn into multi-gajillion dollar TV contracts, and there's more money available in 2026 or whatever.
There's all this stuff out there. There's Bitcoin. There's the metaverse. Yeah. All this stuff.
Yeah.
It's all revenue, baby. Yeah.
That's it. It's just money, man. The
money. Throw a lot of other other buzzwords out there that I don't quite understand.
Money's going to be flowing like water, baby. You know, the one thing that Boris said in there that I guess involves Correa to a degree, because he's got to be one of the guys he's referring to. Ben, can you re-cue it up? I'll stop you when we get to the part I want to talk about here.
Well, the Astros, when you look at them, they have three or four young pitchers, but they also have six potential great position players.
Okay. Oh, we keep playing, actually, yeah, because he caveats the age.
Potential great position players who are all relatively young.
Okay, stop it right there. Who are the six position players on this team who are potentially great, who are all relatively young? I'm going through the lineup, okay?
Kyle Tucker.
Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez are the two obvious ones. Yeah. I guess Correa would be one of them. I mean, he's relatively young. He's 27, you know, which that would be encouraging if he's talking about Correa as still being part of the team.
Scott Boris, a client.
Breggy Bombs?
Alex Bregman.
Yeah, yeah. I guess he's relatively young. I mean, Bregman's been in the league for 6 years now, and he went to college. Bregman might be older than Correa. I know you're looking it up right now.
I'm looking up. I'm trying to figure out whether he would include he's not going to include Jeremy Pena in that. Of course, Jeremy Pena could be, you know, by that point playing third base or something.
Well, that's where my mind went at first. I'm like, God, yeah. I wonder if he's looking at the minor leagues to say they've got this guy or that. Like I don't know. Are you referring to Jake Myers as a potentially great young player? You know, like Altuve's not young anymore. Altuve's in his early 30s now. I was just. It's all. Like, I was wondering, hey, look, if he thinks that there's that many building pieces here in Houston, yeah. Don't anybody tell him that there's not, okay? Don't tell Boris that there's three of them.
Did he say position players or players in general?
Well, he first said three or four young pitchers and six.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Six. Yeah, so he separated the position players from the pitchers.
Yeah.
I almost feel like there's more young pitching than there are young everyday players. You know,
I don't feel bad for Boris about, you know, much at all. He's done well in life. I do feel a little bit bad for him that he's kind of at that level of celebrity where, you know, diehard baseball fans are going to recognize him. I don't think the casual baseball fan that, like, barely pays attention to contract stuff and everything is going to recognize Scott Boris. And yet there he is, like, with a camera and a newsman interviewing him in the airport. And Scott Boris probably had to, like, stand there at the luggage carousel.
Bet he loved it. He loved every minute of it.
You think so?
Yes.
He's not like a Drew Rosenhaus that seemingly he doesn't really seem to go out of his way to get on camera.
Nobody's Drew Rosenhaus.
Rosenhaus isn't really Rosenhaus anymore, though, is he?
No, he's dialed it back a little bit.
Yeah, I think once he got married, he kind of settled down a little bit. Yeah. He was probably out there living that lifestyle, that Miami. He was doing all the things that people in Miami do, I'm guessing, and that leads to a whole lot of fun behavior. But like now he got married, settled down a little bit.
He dialed it back. I was reading an article about Boris yesterday in Forbes. In 2020, he negotiated $41.2 billion worth of Major League Baseball contracts.
$41 million
through 2020. He had negotiated $41 billion worth of...
$41 billion?
$41 billion through his
career.
And that's
all, for the most part, guaranteed money.
Through his career, yeah.
$41 billion?
$41 billion through his career he had negotiated, according to Forbes. So $1.9 billion in commissions throughout his career.
What do baseball agents get in commission? Let's say it's 3%.
Whatever $1.9 billion is out of
$41.2. Am I looking at $1.2 billion that he's made in commissions? That's incredible.
Yeah, he's made over $1 billion in commissions. How about that? How crazy is that?
How do we get to the point where we earn over $1 billion?
Start our
in
own
local
agency.
Sports radio.
Any players?
No. What? In local sports radio.
Oh.
I feel like we're gonna have to start taking ownership stakes with some of our advertisers.
I like that.
So we'll your men's tea clinic. We'll go ahead and just get like a percentage share in that.
Yeah, no, we'll start
first. I also have to become an advertiser for them.
I'll see what I can do.
See, like I do this.
Exactly. We can start in tandem with our show, a home shopping network adjunct show where we're actually selling the products of the companies that we endorse.
Or you know what we can do too is we could create some private label brands. Like create our own brand of whiskey or something.
Yes.
And then just start selling that. We'll pay ourselves.
Right.
to advertise those.
Casually mention it during the show and then not pay the station any advertising? Just drop it in there?
We will turn into the audio version of a NASCAR fire suit.
Yes.
We are just, you're not going to be able to listen to the Men's T Sports Radio show with your Bayway sponsored earlobes.
Yes.
Everything's
going to have a label. Ben Gary is going to have a label. Ben Gary is going to have a gigantic body sock on, a gigantic body condom that says Men's T Clinic across the front of it.
Well, think about it. That's how Dre, like for all of Dre's success, I think the most money he's made, not Andre Johnson, Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre.
The most money he's made has probably been from Beats, right?
Yeah.
And they sell
Apple
that for a billion?
It.
Yeah, Apple bought it.
Yeah,
Apple buys anything from you.
Yeah.
Instead of you buying 1,800 different sets of adapters from Apple,
right.
How about Apple? I would let Apple pay me in adapters. It's just make this new contraption work with the old contraption.
Right.
And instead of making me pay $49 for a piece of equipment that you made for 17 cents in Malaysia, I will sell you my company for that.
Give me adapter immunity for the rest of my life. Absolutely. Darren Revelle, Action Network. We'll run our business plan past business expert Darren Revelle. Darren Revelle of the Action Network. We won't. We're going to talk about the NFL weekend coming up. Darren Revelle, Action Network, joins us next.
That's a full kit wanker.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
To the Flying Fish Restaurant hotline we go. I actually ate at Flying Fish Restaurant last night. Amy and I did. Had fried alligator and frog's legs last night at Flying Fish Restaurant. It was delicious.
That's your go-to with those, with them.
Oof. It is. I love it. Jambalaya.
I can't do the, you're going to have to get me kind of liquored up to do the frog legs.
It's like chicken.
I don't know. Why can I eat alligator and it's no big deal, but the frog legs gross me out?
Because the bones are in the frog legs still. Usually alligator is just in chunks.
That's true.
It's a little less personal.
Yeah, I pretend it's like a meaty tater tot or something, or chicken tender with the alligator.
That's what it tastes like, just with better texture. It's really good. Flying Fish Restaurant hotline we go to right now. Darren Revelle of the Action Network stepping right into our conversation. Hey Darren, have you ever had...
No, on the frog legs. No. I will. The frog is actually the number one thing I'm most scared of in the animal area.
Oh, wait, hold up. Not to consume. You're like legit scared of frogs.
I could see a python in front of me and I'd be less grossed out. If I see a frog, I will scream. When I was like 7 years old, I stepped on a bullfrog.
Barefoot?
Basically, like, not barefoot, with my shoes. It was in Vermont. It was a Sunday. I mean, like, literally, like, it's in my head. It was the grossest feeling, and somehow it still runs through my body. So, like when we go to the zoo, when we go to the, area where you look at the newts and the frogs, my kids, point out that it's known in my family. No frogs.
I think it's because of that Looney Tunes frog with the top hat and everything.
Oh, hello, my baby. Yes. Hello, my honey.
Yes. That was
the guy who's dancing. Yeah, the guy.
Yeah, there was something about that frog that freaked me out, and I think that might have been the root of your psychosis over it.
I listen. I love food. I love frou-frou food. I do not do escargot, and I do not do frog's legs. No, none of will not do either of those.
Hmm.
I have eaten fried squirrel. So that was in your state in Luling, Texas. So
really?
Congratulations on that. Oh, fried squirrel on a stick yet. at the watermelon festival in Luling, Texas in 2006.
If it's a mammal you can put on a stick, I'm game. That's my only criteria.
It's game and your game.
Yes. Well done, Darren. Well done. So real quick before we get to actual football,
let's try to not talk about football.
Well, along those lines, Are you still doing Fade Revell? Because I feel like making you eat frog legs is a missed opportunity.
I know. I two straight years of that took like 6 years off my life. I might come back, but like, yeah, not right now. Okay. I think I probably need to come back with it soon.
Yeah.
Darren, I know that the futures market isn't like a huge deal in sports gambling, but you guys at the Action Network do cover this kind of stuff. Is there any substance or reasoning behind why the NFL hiring market, and including like how like coaches weren't largely fired until after the season, it seems to be running in molasses this year. Like, why has everything slowed down so much?
The actual hiring and slow market, you know, the fact that there aren't like immediate replacements right away,
yeah,
or the fact that on betting on it, you know, it is the strangest thing. Like, I mean, when teams are going on their websites and saying, we have interviewed Dan Quinn, and like, here's his bio, and what? Like, it's so crazy. It is crazy that there's not like immediate replacements right away. I don't know what that is. I will tell you that it does depend on what state you're in, whether it'll allow you, on the separate subject of betting, will allow you to bet on the actual coaches. Because it is not something that happens on the field of play. So there are some states that do not want to get into that market. The more progressive states like New Jersey that take Oscars and other things that could be affected and someone could know it, like the people at PricewaterhouseCoopers, the guy who looks at the envelope, they're willing to do things. But, you know, the actual betting market is tough.
Yeah, like Vegas, when Seth and I sit here on this show and we go through the odds on who the next Texans head coach is going to be, and I sit here and go, well, Vegas is saying blah, blah, blah. That's actually a misnomer. Vegas doesn't do bets like
Vegas
that.
Vegas does not. Nevada does not do that.
Right.
Nevada is strict to the book. Has right. to happen. There has to be an element of chance. Otherwise, they're not doing it.
Darren, yeah. I see that you've been mixing it up a little bit over NILs potentially being inducements for players to come to school. And
this is, this is amazing. So, like, I basically am reporting what's going on in Miami, and Miami's like, why are you coming at us? You have something against us, a chip on your shoulder against. I'm like, well, no, it's that you've just not paid attention to anything until I got to you. And that's not my fault,
yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like, you know, and so they're like, why do you think there's something wrong with what we do? I'm mm-hmm. like, well, I went after Texas and the Pancake Factory. Also, when you're announcing the deals and you're announcing the deals with Drew Rosenhaus, and Drew Rosenhaus says, this is going to make Mario Cristobal, you know, at Miami, not only get players, but keep them out of the transfer portal. When he's saying things that are as stupidly overt as that, it's not me who's manufacturing things here.
So what is the crux of what you're saying schools should be concerned about is that in this gray area where, yes, players can be paid for their name, image and likeness, is it not quite clear yet what is actually allowed by the NCAA if it looks like you're just trying to get a player
to... It's clear. Here it is. The NCAA, it cannot be an inducement to come to the school. So mm-hmm. someone who is not currently enrolled cannot accept a deal. But here's the thing. They can look... A company is permitted, once a kid expresses a commitment to a school, a verbal commitment, not signed a letter of intent, but he has a verbal commitment to the school, a company can make an offer. Now, that offer can't be accepted until the kid signs the letter of intent. But why don't I just commit to schools, get all the offers, everyone's in, you know, this no man's land, and it seems like it would be permitted. The NCAA, each state has their own law. The NCAA has also not said anything, because I don't think they thought of it, about anything about the transfer portal, about what would be, once you're at a school, the inducement to go to another school. It's only talking about when you're being recruited. So this is the new thing. It's like, well, you know, everyone at Georgia, after they won the title, you know, might as well go to the transfer portal, see what you can get. You know, so there's so much going on. And the schools can't talk to these boosters who are setting up structures. So before, on June 29th of last year, if you're a booster, yeah, you better not talk to any player. And now it's like, well, now you can talk all you want, but make sure you don't talk to the school. Just represent the school, cut the deals with the players, keep them there, and the AD better not know about it. I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's the wild, wild west. Darren Revelle, Action Network, joining us on the program. So, Darren, Seth and I just got done talking in the previous segment about Scott Boras, the super agent in MLB. The big story around here, even amidst the lockout, is what is Carlos Correa going to do after the season is over? He's a free agent now. He reportedly wants a huge deal. He just changed his representation from the Endeavor division of the William Morris Agency over to Scott Boras. From what you know about Boras and the business of sports, should Astro fans be more nervous, less nervous, or the same amount of nervous that Carlos Correa ain't coming back?
Oh, much more nervous. I mean, come on. I mean, Scott does his job. And listen, he is ultimately being paid by Correa, so like Carlos has to give him the marching orders. But unfortunately, the marching orders are strain as much money as you can from whoever you can, and that's your job. And if that's your job and there's no emotional attachment to it, then there could be, you know, he could be out of here. There's definitely concern with Boras, because Boras helps convince, hey, it's, you know, this isn't a game of loyalty. This is a game of make as much money as you can.
You know, with Boras, obviously he's just way more plugged in than anybody else, and he's going to have way more information than anybody else. But when it comes to agents in general, I'm always skeptical when people feel like an agent gets a free agent, a higher offer somewhere, because teams know what they want to spend. Like, what is there something that Boras does differently that makes him an exception to that?
Yeah, fake research. He has these unbelievable binders that – I actually have the Alex Rodriguez binder before he went to the I think it was when the Rangers signed him for $252 million. The projection at the time, and Alex was in the majors for 5 years, the projection at the time was that he was going to hit 776 home runs. You know, based on these 5 years, and based on the average, and based on the, you know, so he just got to get one or two owners really excited, you know. But it's also just the stupidity of owners. You know, it's like Tom Hicks agreed to that $252 million deal because he actually thought that Alex Rodriguez would help bring people to the ballpark, and then around Arlington they could have a amusement park. What? What? What are you talking about? Well, that was like the original thing. There was like, he was like going to develop land and bring people. Now, the only place that really worked, where a stadium was not like in the middle of town and it actually brought people, Patriot Place has actually done that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to win six titles, and then people will go to the middle of nowhere and shop in the middle of nowhere around the stadium.
Dude, and that is the middle of there's no easy way in or
nowhere,
out of Foxborough. You're, you
no,
got
no,
that
actually,
right.
There's actually like one lane out of there.
Yes.
Like two.
Yeah. That whole these city center concepts that have sprung up, I think, are going to change a lot of how they do it with stadiums now. Like Arlington, they kind of did that. Now Arlington's already just fine as a city, but they created
Atlanta.
That special little area there where it's its own little city. It's pretty cool.
Yeah
that Atlanta place is weird. I mean, I've been in the apartments. It's like, yeah, I know. I like in college, I understand like the beachfront property, but staring at a stadium, like going on your deck and staring at a stadium, it's a little bit weird. I don't know if that makes
you've
sense.
You've been in the apartments. You make it sound like you were like party hopping at the apartments, Darren. Like I've been in
those. No, it never is as exciting as it sounds. I was like the first day they like gave me like a a tour once it was completed, so it wasn't exciting. Although, you know, I'm like living in the biosphere now in my house, so anything's exciting. Going anywhere is exciting. I'm
That's
at
right.
CBS right now. I couldn't be more excited.
Darren Revell, Action Network. All right, Darren, before we get you out of here, you're on a major hot streak right now, are you not? Am I reading your tweets?
I was 17-1. I was 17-1. I lost the bet, but yeah, I was hitting things.
Okay, so
yeah.
Now you're 17-2. Like, that's still really good. What's your best bet for the weekend? Let's ride the Revell wave.
You know, the crazy thing is, I'm looking at it, and I don't know why I don't see value that I usually look at. I mean, I really like Green Bay, which skips me. I really like Aaron Rodgers. I think that team is not as good as normal Green Bay. Obviously, there's a lot of holes there. But I like Green Bay this weekend.
What's the number?
4.5.
Okay, so it's stuck. It opened it. I think it opened it.
No, that. See, that's the thing also, by the way. I have gotten into such a habit of betting on Saturday because of all the moves. And last week it did not move that much, and this week it has not.
Yeah.
So, like, I have to get my mind around it. I mean, today's Thursday. I actually haven't placed a bet yet because I've just been so used to the COVIDity that I haven't gotten into my, like, usually on Thursday I got a couple bets down, but I haven't done it yet. But we'll see.
Yep.
It's exciting. I think for me, Burrow is very interesting. I know the Bengals are, you know, 12-1. They're the longest long shot. It's going to be interesting. The Bills are the craziest up and down I've seen in a year of anyone. I think Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the NFL one day, and then, you know, the next week I'm like, God, they stink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Mahomes, it's like, what's real and what's not? And the Chiefs, what's real or what's not? I mean,
it's wide open.
It is wide open. And I think way too much credit is given to Brady for what the Bucs really are. They're just not that good.
The Titans are the sixth, you know, of the eight, the odds board of the eight teams. The Titans have the sixth longest odds of any team, and they're the one seed in the AFC. It's bananas.
Yeah, that's the thing because people base their decisions and what they think about based on quarterbacks.
Yep.
And like Tannehill is just like the least of the quarterbacks talked about. Like, he's seen as serviceable, you know. But they have a pretty good team. You know, they have a good team, and people forget about that. They just overrate teams based on the quarterback.
Yep, no doubt. Darren Revell, Action Network. Download that free Action Network app and get ready for a big weekend of divisional round football. Darren, we appreciate it. If you ever get to Houston, we're taking you to Flying Fish Restaurant and getting you some frog legs and fried alligator.
What else do they do?
Largely seafood, like Cajun style seafood
great.
Stuff.
It's great. I'm in.
Okay.
I'll attend there.
Okay.
I'll attend there.
I guarantee there will be stuff you like on the menu. I promise you, Darren.
Okay.
We appreciate it, brother.
I just won't. I'm not going to say where I won't go to because they could be a sponsor.
Yes, don't do that. Text it to me. Text me where you won't go. We'll make sure that's not on the agenda.
Okay. Got it.
See you, Darren.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, later.
I hope the people at Flying Fish don't think that I'm like saying I don't like their frog legs.
No.
I don't like frog legs in general.
Right. No,
it's not like it's the frog leg hut or something.
Right.
That's one item on there.
It was one item on a plate that had multiple items for me. I didn't just order a big plate of frog legs. So sure I could have replaced it with fried shrimp or something else. But everything's delicious there. Flying Fish Restaurant. Get there. All right, Seth. It's antibodies time. We look up and it's time for the antibodies to you and to everybody.
Antibodies to you and like just maybe at least one coach gets hired somewhere. Just give me some movement
in this
market.
No, that ain't happening.
Once one domino falls, the rest of them
fall
as well, Sean.
Yeah. Yep.
Learned that from Khrushchev.
I learned that from knocking over dominoes.
Yeah,
go figure. All right, we're done.
Domino's was actually created on based on a Cold War concept. The game of Domino's was So a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't realize that.
Fun fact. All right, I'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. We'll see all of you tomorrow at 6 a.m. In the Loop is up next. Have a great day, everybody.
I forgot three things this morning, and I can only remember two of them. And I feel good. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.